Hey everybody, it's me, the B-Man, coming at you live. This episode, we got magician Ben Sideman. This is a good episode to watch the videos on because he does some tricks live on the show that are pretty good. Ben's very impressive. So watch the videos if you can, or just enjoy the audio because we do lots of goofs and fun gags that you'll enjoy listening to as well, and maybe listening to Trick's audio style is fun as well. Join the Patreon if you don't already know about that. Patreon.com/worldrecordpodcast. $5 a month gets you all the double length episodes, all the bonus content, and you don't get any ads. So there's that as well. And you help keep the show going, which is good for all of us if you like it. And I like doing it, and so does the A-Train. And we have little kids that we can feed with the Patreon money. Watch the videos on YouTube. Go to Patreon or go to worldrecordpodcast.com and buy some merch. And you can watch the videos and shit there too. All right, motherfuckers. Enjoy this episode. Peace.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
When you're at your best, you can do great things, but sometimes life gets you bogged down and you may feel overwhelmed or like you're not showing up in the way that you want to.
If you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there.
Visit BetterHelp.com/worldrecord today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/worldrecord.
So horny, oh, 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 so horny, oh, so horny, oh, 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 so horny, oh,
me so horny, oh, oh, me so horny, oh, so horny, oh, oh, me so horny, me so horny, me love you long time.
Me so horny when I'm walking down the street and I go downstairs to beat my meat. Pull out my wang and I give it a twang and then I tickle my balls and then I sang. Oh, so horny. Oh, oh,
me so horny.
Oh,
me so horny.
Me love you long time. Me so horny.
When Demon's always horny, he love you long time.
And nibble on my dick like a rat does cheese. So horny.
Wait, who?
Oh, oh, oh.
Who nibbles on your dick like rats love cheese?
That's part of another Two Live Crew song.
Oh.
That's, well, you see, this is, we're not supposed to swear, whatever. Who cares about the 2 cents we'll make from YouTube?
Yeah, YouTube, you can suck it, honestly.
There's a song called Hey, We Want Some.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we want some.
Bleep. Hey. Hey, we want some. Bleep. Hey. And then a guy, like, that's one of the lines. Something like, get down on your knees and nibble on my dick like a rat does cheese. Which
that's,
is not really
actually
how
does
you
sound
want
nice.
A good...
Sounds appetizing.
All right, let's call someone real quick. And
would
then
you
we're,
let
we have a guest, ladies and gentlemen.
He's as soon as he turns this podcast on, he's going to ask to be removed from it.
Probably. All right, guys, guess what time it is.
Woo! It's showtime!
That does really sound like you. You do it.
Because the scream... I mean, I'll have to scream my head off.
It's showtime!
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to have to scream, though, because that's what sounds like me, is the way the level
the way he
of
screams.
Screaming, the way his voice yeah. is, like, rattling.
Yeah.
Okay, let me hear it one more time. Let's hear it one more time. Okay?
Woo! It's showtime!
Woo!
It's showtime!
Oh.
It sounded just like it.
Is that, yeah.
The woo sounded good.
Yeah, that was I nailed it.
You nailed the woo.
We should, let's call, you know what? Let's call a place and let them know that we're going to have a magician on.
Okay.
We'll call a magic store.
Okay. They have those? Like the one that Pee-wee went to?
You know, I miss places like that. There used to be stores like with... I loved those kinds of stores when I was
Wacko.
Little.
Is Wacko like that?
Wacko's kind of like that. Wacko's a little... I mean, you can't just exist on, you know, the eyeballs that come out of glasses and chattering teeth or whatever anymore. Rubber hands. Like, all that shit. Trick I loved them. All that shit. And, yeah, Wacko is kind of... Wacko's the closest thing you're going to get to that. But they also have, like, all these books and, you know, frou-frou shit.
I forgot about that. Frou-frou.
Frou-frou, like nudie magazines or whatever.
They got nudie magazines?
Well, they have like art books where it's
with
just like...
put vaginas stretched out.
Yeah, that kind of where it's like, oh, it's art photography. Well, it looks like you just have a bunch of like dicks with rope tied around them or whatever. Yeah, that's my art. Get
or
all
like
my friends
naked
to come
girls.
Over. Tie ropes around their dicks. Yeah, naked girls that are all tied up.
Ew.
Well, every poster for American Horror Story, I'm like, oh, there's Ryan Murphy's sexual kink. Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's true. Like the person in all black and that's weird.
Yeah.
Well, I was like into that show. Shirt. Yeah, the leather, like the, yeah, like a gimp suit.
What's this thing?
Would you wear that? A tight, skin tight latex?
Yeah, if I lost 25 pounds.
Gimp suit.
I don't want to wear any skin tight gimp suits until I lose some weight.
You should wear that for your birthday, to your birthday party.
Okay, yeah. You're not invited to my birthday party, by the way. Just in case you were
Me?
Wondering what you were gonna do. Yeah.
No, I'll be gone by then.
Yeah.
I've got plans. A whole month. I'm busy.
Well, you're not invited to my birthday party.
It's fine. I wouldn't go anyway.
Yeah, you're gonna be like really upset.
Why? I wouldn't care.
We could just, did you send the guy the link?
We want some.
Ooh,
hey!
Hey! We want some. Ooh, hey! Hey! We want some. Ooh, hey! We sound good together. That's a good, we harmonize well.
That's not harmonizing.
Yes, it
at all.
Is, sweetheart.
All right, do it again.
Hey! We want some. Ooh, hey!
Hey!
We want some
ooh, ay. Ay. We want some ooh, ay.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. Oh, that's a good, you know what?
We should teach
do that
our
for
son.
Sesame Street.
Yeah, we should teach our son.
Get
that.
Two live crew. Let's see if we can find, would there even be karaoke for that? Let's see, karaoke for Hey, We Want Some.
Is that the name of the song?
For Hey, We Want.
That is our guest chiming in, by the way.
Okay. Do we don't have a waiting room situation?
He's in the waiting room.
Oh, nice.
The waiting room's really nice. It's got like a leather couch and.
Yeah, they just got cable in there too.
Mm-hmm.
Karaoke. Forgot to put that. Very important.
Can you turn the two of you up just a hair?
Yeah, sure.
There we go.
Thank you, sir.
Hey!
Oh, no, karaoke for Hey Woo. Okay. Okay, let's see if this works.
Okay.
Should work. It's in the key of C.
Okay.
Somebody say A, B, C, D, E, F.
A, B, C, D, E, F. G. H-I-J-K-L. Well, we have to do the whole alphabet. B-C-D-E.
Well, you start.
G-H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O-P.
No. See, the chorus is A, B, C, D, E, F. And then when we get into the song, that's when you start saying the rest of the alphabet. Did you fart?
No.
Yeah, you did.
I did not.
Did you shit your pants?
No. Did you?
B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V,
W, X,
well, I'm trying
Y,
to, like,
Z.
Figure out. We got to do, we'll do, we'll figure that out
Why
later.
Did you ask me if I shit?
I smell shit.
I don't smell it. I smell the salsa from your burrito.
Aaron,
did you step
Aaron.
In dog shit? Yes. Did you?
Yeah.
For real?
No. Dumbass. All right, let's get, hold on, let me find a good magic. What's a good magic music?
Like,
let's see. Okay. Ooh. Let's see what this sounds like. Yeah. All right, let's let our guest into the, let's get him out of the waiting room. And then when you leave the waiting room, just go down that hall.
Make up the third door on your left.
From the Zoom, I'm giving you directions on how to get out of the Zoom waiting room. Go down the hall.
Down to the left.
Down to the left. There's a ladder. You see the ladder? Ben, do you see the ladder?
I do. Okay, hold up. Let me get... Can I put chalk on my hands?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to, like, do a gymnast move up the ladder.
Yeah, that a gymnast move is a lofty way to say fall off of a ladder.
Yeah.
There you are.
Oh, look at this. Now, look at that. Now, that's...
This is good music for that.
Yeah, and he's got the lighting to go with it,
that's
too.
That's what I mean.
Like magic lighting. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's Ben Sideman. Sideman, correct? That's how you say it?
You nailed it. I nailed it. Hi.
Hello.
Well, we're that's how they said it at the castle. I mean, I just call it the castle now.
Yeah, that's what the cool kids are saying.
Yeah.
And by cool kids, I mean a room full of nerds.
If you want to see, and not, this is not a, not, I think the Magic Castle is one of the coolest places on the planet, but chances are you will see the biggest dork you've ever seen in your life there. There's going to be one guy that you're like, I don't even want to know what's going on with that situation over
there. Biggest as in size and also as in everything else about them.
Yeah, just kind of style, like, yeah. What, do you have an idea of what it costs for a normie to get an associate membership at the Magic Castle?
I actually don't. I do think it's in the thousands, but I'm not sure how much.
For a year. I have no... I figured it's probably not so crazy expensive where, you know.
Yeah.
But
they
want to
make it like exclusive.
Yeah.
To a certain degree too.
They don't have it on their way. You have to call and talk to them. But I'm considering.
Yeah,
it,
there's a whole process. Like it's not that expensive. Like any one percenter can very easily join.
Yes.
And we are part of the
1%. Would you vouch for me as an associate to get my associate membership or?
Absolutely. I think what you're wearing perfectly fits the dress code, so I think you're all set.
One tie, he'll come in with three ties.
There's no limit on the amount of... I'm one for pushing the boundaries on rules.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, you want me to wear a tie? I'm going to wear 11 ties. And then they're like, well, you still can't come in. And I'm like, why? And they're like, just because you're a jerk.
Yeah,
like
you're annoying.
Yeah, you're annoying.
What you can do, though, is help get in 10 other people who forgot their ties. So that's
true.
Well, they would also be mad at that because then they can't soak people for $50 to buy a Magic Castle tie.
But the Magic Castle...
And who doesn't want a black tie with an embroidered owl on it? I mean, come on. Just poll America and see who doesn't want that tie.
Well, I saw... When we came to see you last week, there was a guy in front of us, which I think, you know, he was like, it doesn't say you have to wear a tie on the website. And I was under the impression ties weren't mandatory either, the way... And I really read it.
Yeah.
So it's not, they don't make it that clear that you must wear a tie. It says your shirt must be buttoned up, but I don't think it says that a tie is mandatory, but either way.
But maybe that's just included in like formal attire. It's part of that.
Yeah,
that includes a tie or a bow tie. Or...
But
may I propose a possible reason? I don't know this for sure, but I think it did used to say tie is required on the website. They might have taken that off the website as soon as they started selling ties at the gift shop.
Yeah, they probably did. They probably did.
It's possible. But
smart.
So the guy in front of us, he had to buy a tie. But I thought, I was like, oh, I want a
tie
too.
Yeah, you wanted one.
But and then I found the guy. I saw him, you know, in the place later. I was like, hey, how much did they soak you for that tie? And... Actually, I think he said $30. Yeah.
Bad.
So it's not that bad. But, you know, the tie, I looked at it, and it's not like, I would want it to be like more flamboyant,
more magic, you know, like a, magic-y yeah, with like flames,
the magic castle. And,
yeah, you know, the least, castle
yeah,
on it.
Yeah. So
cool. I would love like a magic castle / Guy Fieri matchup tie.
Yes.
So like magic castle logo, flames, and then some sort of like ripcord that you could pull and have real flames come out of it.
Oh. Now that's magic right there. Well, that would be
Amanda, fun. get the engineers working on that ASAP. Please.
I will. Engineers. Yeah, they took all right, they're working on it right now.
So, this is Ben Seidman, who we saw at the Magic Castle. We talked about that. Was that last episode that
yes,
we were talking about it?
I think so.
Yeah. There we go.
It was a great show. It was so much fun. You know, we went to...
Hold on, they're not done.
Oh.
Yep, they're booing you. Sorry, everyone. Let's give it up.
Who are they booing, Ben?
Okay, hold on. Who are you booing, me? Or are you booing the A-Train?
Oh, they're booing me.
What about me? Yeah, okay. All right, thank you. After these messages, we'll be right back. This
episode
is
sponsored
by
BetterHelp.
That's right, baby, BetterHelp. A-Train, you're a big fan of therapy. You go all the time. Why don't you talk about the benefits of therapy?
Therapy just helps me feel better about myself. If I'm feeling down or upset or even depressed, I call my therapist and we talk and I feel a lot better. And
you do that ish on the phone?
I do it on the phone. And BetterHelp, you can do it totally online.
You do it online. You could do it face-to-face. You could do it over the phone. You just fill out a questionnaire. They match you with the right person. For real, give it a shot. If you're thinking about therapy, this is a great way to do it. And be sure to use our promo code WORLDRECORD at betterhelp.com/WORLDRECORD.
If you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there.
And did I say, if you visit betterhelp.com/WORLDRECORD, you get 10% off your first month. So that's totally worth giving it a shot. Help yourself, help the show.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/WORLDRECORD.
Peace! Get healthy in your dome, yo!
Now, back to our program.
Oh, I was just going to say, when you do late, because we saw you at the 8 o'clock show, I wanted to ask you, when you do later shows, is there like more heckling involved? Because we went to a show at 10, and there was... by then, everybody
was really just
drunk.
One asshole, but you could tell the lady in the front that he brought up was drunk.
Yes.
Everybody seemed pretty drunk.
And it seemed like probably really annoying to do magic with drunk people.
Yeah, I will say that at the Magic Castle, people get unusually drunk.
Yeah.
Like West Hollywood brunch style drunk.
Yeah.
Like it gets past a certain point, it is just chaos in there, which it's a very interesting dynamic too, because a lot of people who perform there are like some of them are working pros who tour like myself. And some of them are people who just like love magic. And this is a very exciting excuse for them to perform, but they're not used to dealing with that type of audience.
Yeah.
So it's always interesting. You can kind of see who does a lot of shows and who's more of a hobbyist if they're performing there, just because as soon as the chaos happens, like either deal with it or you've got like the deer in the headlights look.
Oh,
but yeah, people definitely get drunk there, and it can make the performance awful. It can make it exciting and new and different. It just kind of depends on who it is. I did a show once at the castle in one of the rooms. This is probably like 7-8 years ago. And my buddy Jamie, who's an incredible magician, brought his buddy Werner Herzog to the show.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh, that's cool. I love that guy.
Yeah.
And so I was so excited. And they're like, oh, they're seeing the 12:30 show. And I was like, God damn it. They came in and everything seemed fine. And then like 2 minutes into the show, it became apparent that most of the back row was the one group who were like bachelorette party style drunk.
Oh, God.
And they were so drunk that even like, I was shutting them down. I was doing what I do, but they were so far gone that they couldn't cognate the fact that they were getting made fun of and shut down, and they just kept going. And so I'm just like looking. Werner Herzog is like three feet away from me.
God.
And I'm just trying to not let the room melt down. But yeah, that definitely happens sometimes.
Well, you know, and this is like, take this advice however you will. I'm not a magician, but... why don't you just make them disappear?
You know what? That's a, Brendan, that's an excellent. I feel like I've been doing this for like near 20 years. Yeah. I should have already come up with that.
Yeah.
Make that disappear.
I haven't considered it.
And this just goes to show you, ladies, don't stick your stupid bachelorette parties up your ass. Don't.
He said they were that drunk. They weren't necessarily a bachelorette party.
If you're using that as an example, I mean, because bachelorette parties are notorious for ruining comedy shows. And I'm sure they don't help a magic show.
No. Nobody drunk.
I will say, I've had some great bachelorette parties. Look, it just depends on the level. Like, getting kind of drunk, that can be fun for the show. But getting, like, too far gone, then it's just, then it's, you know, it's too much.
Well, but also,
But yeah, I've had awesome shows for bachelorette parties, both, like, me being hired to do a private party for a bachelorette party and having them in the audience. It's not always, look, that was a little bit of a low blow. To all the bachelorettes who are listening to the podcast, I just want to say, I'm sure you're great.
Magicians are a lot more diplomatic than stand-up comics.
Well, it's different too, because magic, you do like involve the audience a lot more than you do with, you know.
Well, and Ben's just a nicer guy.
Oh, he's more professional than you.
He's a better person
also.
Than I am.
Yes.
Head and shoulders.
Yes.
I mean, it's just clear to everybody from this, from right now, from seeing him for the first time for a lot of these people.
Yeah.
Now, when you do a private bachelorette party, do you have to take off your clothes?
It depends. How much am I getting paid? Because if I'm getting paid a lot, then, you know, I don't have to. But, you know, if I'm taking the gig just for fun, then like, yeah, of course.
You'll do a magic strip show. That could be fun.
Yeah, why not?
Now watch me make my pants disappear.
They're like, I bet they would love that.
Say, ladies, now watch. I'm going to make my pants disappear and then just slowly, you know, take them off.
Yeah, they're like, what?
Can't get them over your shoes. It's like 30 minutes of you struggling with a pair of jeans.
Yeah, you fall over. That would be fun.
That would be actually a great name for a special, is 30 minutes of you struggling with a pair of jeans.
So what's your, I'm very interested, and I'm not blowing smoke up your ass. The reason we were talking about the show last week was, that was the best. I've been in the Magic Castle a couple times, and I think twice I've been in the Magic Castle. Haven't really seen much live magic, but that, I mean, what you guys did, you and your friend or partner, David.
Yeah, my buddy David Girard.
You guys, that was the best. I mean, that was just like, I don't see anything getting better than that. Like, you guys are doing the highest level of shit that's out there, I think.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate that. I've been doing this stuff since I was a kid, and it is, I mean, I make my living entirely from touring, doing magic, and creating my own magic tricks that go in the show. And that stuff is super important to me. So I really want to hit people hard. I want people to see magic that they've never seen before. So it's not just classic stuff. I want them to see like material they've never seen that will just really floor people and make them question reality. And so, yeah, like, thank you. I really appreciate it, man. I've worked hard to get to this level, and I'm always developing, and it's like, it's my favorite thing, is giving people that feeling of amazement and trying to break people's brains.
Well, it's great. And I, you know, not to knock the other magicians I've seen, but there are, and even, you know, the guy, it was the guy you recommended.
I don't remember his name though.
But either way, I don't want to, but he was doing a lot of classic, like, you know, when you see a guy pull out three rings, it, you know, that's great. I don't know how to do that. It's still a magic trick, but it's kind of like, yeah, okay. And I feel like it is like comedy in that sense, too. Like, you know, you kind of have, you know, people kind of, it's like, yeah, I've kind of, you know, seen a variation of this. And then you have the people that are like, oh, I want to see more
doing
of this
new,
guy. Like, this guy's
fun. Yeah. Really, and that's fun.
Thank you. Yes, I am the Dave Chappelle of magic. So thank you.
Yeah, that's true. He does stop the show to give a big speech about trans people. And he really derails the magic show. To give you a big lecture. I forgot about that part.
Yeah, it's not
That's
so much
true. And comedy. I have a really complicated relationship with Neil Brennan. How inside baseball are we getting on this?
I wanted to kiss your ass a little bit on that, because it really is. And I, you know, we talked about this last week, but, you know, I do love Penn and Teller's Fool Us. You've been on Penn and Teller's Fool Us. How many times?
I have done that show twice. I did it in the first season that it aired in America way back in the day. And then I did it more recently, kind of like during the pandemic still. And I did a virtual appearance, literally sitting in this exact chair
okay.
in my home studio, doing a trick that I created. So I've done it a couple of times. And I knew Penn and Teller from back in the day. They're amazing, brilliant people. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until I did that first appearance that I actually kind of became more friendly with them. And now I can kind of call Teller a bit of a friend, which is amazing.
That's cool.
One of my heroes growing up. And so, it's super cool to do that show. And it's also cool because some magic shows are not super well produced on television. And to be a part of a show where they really actually care about the magic is pretty dope.
Yeah, I love that show. I still can't nail down when it's... I got rid of my cable a long time ago, so I have a digital antenna, which I recommend to everybody, every episode. So I have to catch it live. And it's always... It seems like they move it around, or maybe I just don't have a good lock on
it. I don't know.
It's like Thursdays or Fridays.
I thought it was Fridays at 9, but then it wasn't for a while.
I think it's Thursdays at 8 now. You probably
don't even know.
I think, I have no idea, but Brendan, I think you might be the only person who's not in my parents' generation who is watching it live on television and not on YouTube.
I know. I kind of enjoy that. I enjoy, it's nice, and yeah, maybe it is a nostalgia thing, you know?
Yeah.
Bro, you love commercials. I'm not gonna shit on you for that.
We watch a lot of commercials.
I have a lot of reverse mortgages and...
Zip codes
for your Medicare.
And Devato.
That is true. I mean, that's
Sky Rizzi.
I obviously noticed that, but all commercials are geared towards old people, and that's why, because they're the only ones watching shit. Like,
Camp
we got to
get
home by 8 o'clock. Yeah, yeah. Honey, your Camp Lejeune cancer is acting up.
Yeah.
Maybe I should ask my doctor about Lufthansa, which is probably an airline, but it sounds like a drug. You know?
Yeah. Well, we named our son Sky Rizzi. So that's definitely inspired from a commercial.
From Skype. Moderate to severe plaque psoriasis.
That's his middle name.
Yeah.
So did you fool Penn and Teller on the first your first try?
I guess, Brendan, your viewers are just going to have to tune in and check
it out. That's good. Why spoil it?
I was just thinking, we could watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, we'll watch it on YouTube. We'll put it at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
On Patreon only.
The thing that I'm really, really proud of, which is the most recent thing I did in that sort of medium, was I did this really cool episode with Vanity Fair. They do this cool series where an expert in a topic will break down something. So in other words, they'll do like a heist movie and like a combination of like heists on TV shows. And then a person who worked in security at the FBI investigating heists will break it apart. And they had me do one on sleight of hand and pickpocketing. So that's out on YouTube. If you search Ben Seidman Vanity Fair, it'll come up. And that one's pretty cool because I get to demonstrate a bunch of pickpocketing in it.
Ooh.
And that one the viewers should check out because it's more recent and really dope.
Okay. Yeah. And we'll have the link. The link's right there underneath. The link was right underneath of you the whole time.
The
and now it's
right
over
here.
There now.
In fact, if you look under your seat.
Wait, now the link's over here. now the link's over there. Look, show them, Amanda. Show them.
Oh, yeah. The link's right here. Look.
Wow. How'd you do that, Ben?
That's like kind of like easy level magic is making a link appear.
A question about the virtual Penn and Teller, and I think they're sticking with that weird virtual audience, which is annoying, I gotta say. But I get it.
You haven't performed for them.
Well, he said one was in the
live yet, like without the audience, because I wonder what that would be like to just be performing.
Yeah, the
Penn
first one I did was just an appearance on stage with the full live audience, and the second one was I was virtual, and the audience was, I believe. Actually, the audience might have been in person for that one. I'm not sure. I don't know because I wasn't there. I was right there.
Yeah.
But my question for that is now what kind of like, obviously, I guess there's a certain level of trust, but like you can, if you're just doing it sitting at that desk, you could just have a whole bunch of like coins sitting in your lap that you could just keep making appear. Like how do they, does somebody come to your house to like monitor you or am I overthinking the whole thing?
Yeah, so... Regardless of at what era the show was happening, there was always a magic producer who is involved. At the beginning, it was the late, great Johnny Thompson, who was like one of the greats that we had and we lost a few years ago. So he was it. And then Michael Close, who's an incredible magician who has published a lot of work and is really amazing, he kind of took that role. But either way, they know how the trick works, because when you first do that show, you explain to them the workings of exactly what you're doing and how it works. And then they're in earpieces along with the producers with Penn and Teller. And then it's kind of their job to suss out whether or not Penn and Teller cracked the method. Although there's a lot of weird gray area. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of people who have gone on the show who have technically fooled them but not gotten the trophy. I'm one of them. And then there's also people who haven't fooled them but who have gotten the trophy. It's really hard because getting fooled is this sort of subjective thing if you have a beat of magic that might use 10 different methods at the same time.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, well, if they cracked two of them, were they fooled? If eight of them they didn't know, it's really hard to decide. So
but it's like
really the idea of the trophy and whether or not they're fooled, it's kind of the gimmick of the show. The real purpose of the show is a showcase for magic where magicians can come out and do pieces.
It's like the last comic standing of magic.
I was thinking like if I was on it and they'd be like, you know, like, oh, is this how you did it? I'd be like, no, I fooled you. Like, regardless of if I fooled
them
or not.
Well, but then the
But that's what the producer is there for,
And the producers have to be magicians, I imagine.
So
because
they
like,
know what...
Well, no, because of you having, like, a guy like you tell them how you're doing a trick that you've worked on for... Or is it, like, I mean, do you explain exactly how, you know, like you're closing... number, which is one of the most amazing tricks I've ever seen at the Magic Castle, your closing number at the Magic Castle is one of the most amazing tricks I've ever seen. Now, if you did that or a variation of that on Penn and Teller, would you walk the guy through the entire, like you tell him the whole thing, or do you say, well, it's kind of using the, you know, whatever method of, like, how vague or how specific do you have to get?
You do have to sort of be specific and explain all of the workings.
Okay.
The second appearance I did on this show, they loved the effect, but it was actually the method that really made Michael Close want to put it on the show, because it's this very intricate, totally original method. And so he was actually like, the trick's great. I love the trick, but actually how it works is even cooler.
Okay.
To the point where we were like, man, is there a way where I can even expose the secret just because it's so cool? But obviously we
do it here. You can do it here.
I think, do you have a trick that you could do for us over Zoom?
Yeah, of course. I've got a few. How much do you want to see so I know how much material to do?
Oh my God. I mean, honestly, I'd let you do like 3 hours.
I'm up for anything. And, you know, there was an opportunity, and no disrespect, the magician that you said you lost recently, Johnny, what was his name?
Yeah, Johnny Thompson.
Johnny Thompson. Now, when you say he was lost, was this like he went into a cabinet and somebody made him disappear? And,
and they couldn't remember.
Sorry, that's
you're terrible.
I get, you know, you don't have many opportunities.
See, you do like magic humor, but you're not a magician. That's an that's an interesting thing.
Yeah, that would be a funny kind of gag, because I know comedy does go along with magic.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to keep everybody entertained. You keep, you know, it's not just like trick. But that would be a funny gag for a magician who does pull somebody out of the audience and make them disappear, do like a brief in memoriam with photos of people who never came back. Show that before they step in.
That is funny.
That'd be awesome. I mean, the comedy is important to me. I always love that. One of the reasons why, and shout out to David Girard, who I was doing the shows with. That's my buddy. He's based in San Francisco. He's one of the funnier performers who I've ever met.
Yeah.
And both of us like writing jokes and riffing in the moment and making it feel like real and live. You can be a serious magician. It's just like, it's not as much of our taste and our style.
Yeah.
No, it makes the whole
Chris
experience
not
so
making jokes
so fun. I
oh no, he is.
I thought it was funny.
He's trying.
Chris Angel is.
You know, I saw him in Vegas, and we'll get to your tricks. I'm sorry, I get too long winded, but I did see. I remember. I think you asked me on the last episode what Chris Angel was like. There was some, like, actually a lot of it was, you know, like we talked about, like the, you know, variations of like, okay, that's not, you know, like I want to see him cut, like, you know, I've watched
cut
his show.
In half,
yeah, like kill yourself and come back or something.
Yeah.
And it was good, but there is a portion, and I forgot to mention it. I don't think I remembered until after we left. He brings out, like, there's a whole thing about kids with cancer in the middle of the show.
Oh,
like,
you! I remember
kid
had, you
his
telling
kid
me that.
His comes out and like a Batman, and it's just like, I don't know. I came here to see fucking Chris.
I know.
I'm not
it's
like
so
trying
sad.
To think about sick kids.
I know.
Sorry, but that yeah.
No, goes. there's nothing more entertaining than talking very earnestly about cancer with no boundaries.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's yeah.
How much do you want him to do, Brendan?
Yeah, whatever it's your call.
Take it
you
away.
Know when you have to leave, so we'll keep you here all day if
All right. Well, here. I'll start off with like a little piece of sleight of hand here. I'll roll up my sleeves. That's crucial. And keep your eyes on my hands, and I want you to imagine, guys, imagine that I have a silver dollar at my fingertips. And I know it sounds silly, but if you imagine right there, starts to look real.
Oh my God. Even on Zoom, it's crazy.
So look, I'll set that one down. We'll grab another one. Imagine I have a second one right there.
Yeah.
And imagine right there at my fingertips, I have a second coin. So that's two. That's yeah. two coins. By the way, there's nothing hidden behind the coins. There's nothing hidden behind my hands. Just two. I will stay in the frame so you can see. Imagine I have a second one or a third one right there.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's
thanks
like,
for noticing.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
That's
even that.
Yeah.
That is just
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, and here's the thing. By the way, I will make the point that for the people watching on video, it's totally amazing. For the people listening to the audio version of this podcast, this is an amazing trip.
Yeah.
Well, that's
that's why you got to watch the videos.
That would be a funny podcast, the magic podcast that's audio only.
Yeah.
Because then you really well. Let's speaking of that idea, let's call someone.
Wait. Was that it, or is there more?
No, he just made
oh, I mean,
disappear.
I have three coins. So
oh, okay,
I thought he had
coins
more.
Have appeared. Three silver dollars.
Yes.
I'll tell you what. We'll do this. One by one, these three coins will go from here to here. One by one. Amanda, are you watching?
Yes.
Yeah, we're both.
Okay. Watch. One by one, the first one goes like this.
How do you
what
do
the hell?
That?
And remember, look, my sleeves are rolled up. There's only
yeah,
three
I get
coins.
It. I'm why I
the
see.
Next one.
Yeah.
Look, we've got two and we've got one because it's technically impossible for me to have two here and to also have two over there. I have to have one over here. He's a witch. Burn him.
Oh, what
yeah.
the heck?
Wait, I think I saw.
I'll tell you what. I'll do the last one in slow motion. That way you'll actually see it travel from here to here. How does that sound?
It sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay, slow motion. This time you will see it go. Watch. Remember, just three coins from here to here.
You're being silly.
I'm being real silly.
That's like yeah, smart
I know.
Like, right
if I
there.
Just put
I was
it
like,
there,
hey.
It's not that amazing. So I'll tell you what. We'll start that one over so you can actually see it
Jesus.
Go. And if you watch that last coin right here, it goes from here all the way over to there. That's all. Three coins.
So I mean that's you know that's a trick of some sort.
It's gotta be
stumping
right?
me
well, that's
man
the thing. There's an interesting with interesting thing with magic, by the way, is some people watch it like, oh, I want to feel this sense of amazement, I want to feel that feeling, and then other people are just like watching, trying as hard as they can to ruin it for themselves. So, like, this idea comes from Johnny Thompson, who is one of my teachers. He was one of the producers on Fool Us and Penn & Teller's consultant for their entire career. He would talk about closing doors. And the idea being any solution to a magic trick is the possible door. So, what you want to do is close off any possible solutions, which is why I will show you that genuinely there are only three coins. I'll show you the front and back so you know that they're actually solid silver. It's the same reason that I rolled my sleeves up. It's the same reason that I'm keeping my hands within the frame and that I'm moving slowly. Because if you keep all of those things in mind, then your brain actually starts to trick itself into thinking that you're watching something that looks like real magic. And if you watch all three coins, watch that first one.
Oh, it disappeared.
Gone. And there's nothing behind the coins. There's nothing behind my hands. Watch that second one here. Check this out.
Yeah, I don't know.
Thank you, Brendan. Thank you, Amanda. You may now break up into small discussion groups.
Yeah.
But see, I don't.
And by the way, for the record, I will do that last one too. Now that you're watching everything in frame, one by one, they all just sort of melt away, and that's all three coins.
Yep, that's very good. I'm not gonna lie. And I don't. I mean, I don't really spend a lot of time trying to
figure it out.
Yeah, what's the point? I mean, I know that it's years and years of, like, nobody, I mean, you have to start, like, to be a successful magician, this is something, like, I feel like everybody who does magic started when they were, like, five, right? Isn't that, like...
I would say a lot of us started when we were young. Yeah, I got a magic kit when I was six. Now, to be fair, I sucked. Like, I got better.
You're right.
Those coins are
from the magic trick.
You can pick it up later in life, but, you know, like anything, like any learned skill, playing the guitar, anything, any craft, it requires a lot of time. And so you sort of have a head start if you were into it early.
Do you do any tricks involving a guitar?
You know, I did one I wrote one for a TV show that I was consulting on, but I didn't perform it myself. I wrote it for another performer.
What's this? Was this like another one of those magic shows? Or it was a...
This was a magic show that was actually in Stockholm, Sweden, on SVT, which is like the biggest TV channel in Sweden. And it was like a magic special featuring three magicians there who are like the three famous magicians in Sweden, one of whom is like one of my closest friends. Shout out to Charlie Caper, who is this incredible performer. Insane. Like he was a street performer, and then he won Sweden's Got Talent. He was the first magician to win a Got Talent. And then so he got all these offers for doing like huge theaters and big corporate events, and he was just kind of like, you know what? I like street performing and passing the hat better. And so he kind of like put it all away just so he could like travel the world and keep street performing. He's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. There's not going to be any regrets there when he's 60.
Dude kills it though. He'll do a show on the street and pass the hat and make a couple grand and then just do another show.
That's crazy.
Like that's how good he is.
What's his name again?
His name's Charlie Caper. He performs a lot in he does fringe festivals. I think he's in Australia right now doing a fringe.
Okay.
And he performs in like a circus tent, and it's just like for him the most fun thing in the world. Me personally, I like air conditioning, so I like doing inside events. But he's got his thing.
Not getting robbed right after your show. Some guy just watching you from the back going, by my calculations, that guy's got about $5,000 in his pocket.
In his hat.
Oh, wait till he walks to his unicycle to ride home. Speaking, and this is something I'm curious about, because, you know, I was on the road doing comedy for, you know, well over 10 years, about 10 years, I guess. I was on the road all the time. What's the, like, because there's no... Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there are magic clubs all around the country. But I know that like comedy clubs will have magicians. Like there'll be like a special event. Like one night there'll be a magician. But what's like, what does a tour, like what's your year look like touring? Like what are you, like what kind of shows are you doing? Where are you performing? Stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, when I was younger, I would do some comedy clubs. I started off featuring and then eventually headline some clubs, but a lot of clubs are all about just straight stand up and that's all they want. It's a little bit of a square peg in a round hole to talk them into having a magician. And so I kind of use that like that as a training ground to develop new material and work it in. And then I did the college market a lot. I performed at college shows and I did some cruise ships for a while, and then I quit that. And now mostly what I do is like private and corporate events. I'll do some ticketed shows. Like I've got one coming up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, at the performance arts venue there. I've got one in Milwaukee. I've got one in Greenville, Tennessee. But most of my work is private parties and corporate events.
Right. What are the dates for the upcoming shows? Because this will be out in like a week or so.
Great question. If you are listening and in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, on February 16th, come to the Pablo. If you are going to be in Greenville, Texas, on the 18th of February, Google my name. I don't remember the venue. If you're going to be in Omaha, March 2nd, there's a big fundraiser that's open to the public that I'm performing at. And then there's a venue in Milwaukee that I perform at from time to time. with my buddy, who's an awesome stand-up comedian, Marcus Monroe, and we're doing that show with Pete Lee, too. That's in Milwaukee at Turner Hall on May 19th.
Now, when you do the college stuff, now, is that through, like, do you, is that the NACA, do you do the NACA conferences, or?
Yeah, I used to. I mean, I don't do them so much anymore. The college market has changed a lot, but I used to do, like, yeah, 4 or 5 NACAs a year, which, for the listeners who are not comedians and performers, they have these conventions where they'll have performers perform and potential buyers in the market, which are college kids, and their advisors come and watch. And it's like a big trade show. And you could see everything from, like, you know, comedians, musicians, magicians, to super weird things like people are trying to attract attention to their speeches, right? So I remember there was a woman who was doing sex ed talks who dressed up like a giant vagina and was walking around handing out pamphlets. That was cool.
That's our engineer dresses like a giant vagina every day too.
That's great. I'm glad. The engineer who's busy in the other room working on whatever joke we made earlier that I've now forgotten.
I forgot too, but he's busy right now.
Yeah, is it considered a callback if you forget what the original joke was?
what was the original joke? I don't know. I don't even remember.
A tie that sets on fire?
Oh, the tie. Oh, those. I was talking about the podcast engineer, but yeah, the tie that shoots fire out. Yeah.
We could check. Jamie, you want to look it up? Jamie,
look that up.
Wait, do you know, we hired a magician for our daughter's 5th birthday party. Do you know Mr. Fun? His name is Brian.
I have no idea who Mr. Fun is. I bet he's great. Maybe I've met him. I don't know him by that name.
Kid party circuit, and he is fantastic.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he's in high demand, you know?
Yeah.
And he's not cheap.
You would never do kid stuff, obviously. You're like grown.
You know, it's funny. It's not my bag. It's not my expertise. Yeah. But I did this show. I did this really cool show that's on Netflix now called Brainchild. And it's the demographic's like 8 to 12 year olds, and it's a kids science show. And I did magic on 3 of the episodes, guest starring to like illustrate scientific points, which was a really cool show to do. But it's funny because I'm not a kids performer. And then after that show, once that aired, I started getting all of these parents being like, can you come and perform for my, you know, 7-year-old's birthday party? And I had to just be like, I would love to, but I'm not your guy.
You cuss a lot and
show up smoking a cigarette. You know, I actually...
Yeah, if you're throwing a very lavish birthday party for your 7-year-old, we'll talk. Probably not. Yeah.
I had, when I was living in Austin, I had a friend who worked for a party planner guy, like a guy that, you know, would do big events, you know, he would be the guy that they would, you know, have set up, find a venue, whatever. And it started with, he did some things, you know, smaller things, but then, you know, they have South by Southwest in Austin every year. And he was in charge of the Spin Magazine party, which was like, you know, in this, the basement of this office building, and like the Flaming Lips were playing and Built to Spill. And either way, it was a cool, like, you know, this cool thing. But he had extra money, and my friend Sean, who worked for this guy, they paid me and my friend Chris to dress up like clowns. He was like, do you want to be drunken clowns? I think they hired us to be drunken clowns at an event at a bar where we just rented clown suits. And he's like, we're like, what do you want us to do? He's like, really just rent some clown suits and get drunk and be like obnoxious to people.
Okay.
Walk around and like hassle people.
Who books that?
Right. Yeah. I mean, this was all a while ago. And so we did that for the Spin Magazine party. We did this a couple times to where I wound up buying the clown suit. I bought a clown suit because I'm like, well, I'm not renting this anymore. I can just buy it for $100. And it was a great clown suit too, because you went in through the neck hole. There were no seams, either way. So we did these drunken clown things a few times, and then he's like, "Hey, can 3 of you do this like outdoor event? It's during the day." And we're like, "Sure." And then like, as we're like leaving, or then the night before, he's like, "Oh, by the way, this isn't a drunken thing. This is like some corporate like family thing." And we're like, we already bought a case of Zima because that's what we would drink, because it wouldn't, or I don't know why we bought the Zima, but We're like, we're going to be drunken clowns. That's what you, that's what we are.
Yeah. We're not clowns. We're drunken clowns. Yeah. Yeah.
And it,
yeah, you're like, don't tell me how to do my art.
Yeah.
I mean, it was unprofessional on our part. I mean, you know, I was like 25 and, you know, we were all like, fuck, we're getting drunk and do, you know. But it wasn't like a huge disaster, but the people did not dig. Like, we weren't going over the top, but we were, it was obvious we were drinking and like being drunk and like running, just like, you know, all right, kid, hit that thing as hard as you can with a hammer, see if you can ring the bell. And yeah, so they didn't dig it. Sorry, I didn't mean to sidetrack the.
No, I love it.
I was hijacked.
What a great sidetrack. That sounds really, really fun. Maybe you and I can do a trade where, like, I'll do magic for you and your friends, and then you can just show up as a clown drunk at my house unannounced sometime. That would be amazing.
I would do that. I wish I still had that clown costume, man. That was a good one. But I'm sure I could replace that.
You have a Santa costume.
Do you have like a Santa, drunk Santa?
For the full uncut episode, head to patreon.com/worldrecordpodcast. For the full uncut episode, head to patreon.com/worldrecordpodcast. Patreon.com/worldrecordpodcast.